Hey, America.
Start listening now.
All right. I've got great, exciting news. Are you ready?
Yes. Do tell.
Okay. Our new one-dimensional mascot, Pointo, has booked its first gig. We have suspended Pointo 30 feet above the Stade de France perform.
Do we have the rights and the clearance and the insurance for that?
Yeah, don't worry about it. We it's fine. We are ready, Pointo, to make its descent down. And oh no, oh no, 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 no. And welcome to another suspended above the Stade de France episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, the Uncola. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny. Yeah.
Pointo's fine. We just had to send Pointo to a farm upstate to frolic and play with all the other podcast mascots. Pointo will be back. Don't worry about it.
Pointo will return in Die Another Day. Mm-hmm. Die another day.
Will return when you least expect, I imagine.
When the country needs him the most.
Mm-hmm. Pointo's nice. Right behind you right now.
I don't like him.
He loves you.
We have lived to see Georgia actually submit its song, which is nice. Same with
not
France.
Really, but go on.
We'll get to it. Speaking of not really, Sam, hit him with the socials.
All right. you can find us on all the standard social media outlets, 12 Points USA. We're basically got the same handle on just about everything. Or you can just email us directly at directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. You can find our merchandise over on our Redbubble page, or you could also support us with a monthly contribution on our Patreon or a one-off contribution on our Ko-fi account. That's ko-fi Ko-fi, either way. Whether you support us financially or not, we love and appreciate you either way, but Patreon supporters do get exclusive content and early access to episodes. So we got a full roster, y'all. It's finally all in the tin, all on the Wikipedia page. It's all been populated. It's all been released into the ether.
Are we ready to call it a week year, Eric, or...
I'm ready to call it a week year. We keep getting songs and they just seem to be, that's a song.
I'll say this. We just did our annual recording of a 3-hour Eurovision preview show at KMSU Radio in Mankato, Minnesota. Shout out to Shy Boy Tim and Shelley. Woo. Nobody plays fewer hits. I feel like we could have gone another hour of just playing interesting stuff. I will say, to Sam's benefit, we ran out of time just before I was about to play Like a Party.
Phew!
Not because it's good, but because it's just...
It's amusing.
I love that song is in the contest.
Yeah. And do you think it's sort of representative of what the year looks like this year?
Oh, it's, no,
like a
I
dog
wouldn't say
to death in space. Yes.
I don't know. Georgia dragged its feet for so long, and then finally, let's just dive into really talking about it. Yeah. We got the two remaining songs this week from France. I'll just say France sent us something very French, and Georgia sent us this. Sam, what is this all about?
Freedom.
Yeah, apparently.
Well, the song is called Freedom. Yeah. By Mariam Sheng.
Like
yeah, you have to. It's part of the
contractual obligation.
Oh yeah, Freedom by Mariam Shengelia, who I believe was supposed to be one of the backing singers for the Georgian entry in 2020, you know, the Spanish guy, you know, take me as I am.
Remember the halcyon days of
2020?
Yeah.
Well, it seems like it was only yesterday.
But yeah, she's finally getting her moment in the spotlight there with her song Freedom, partially in Georgian, about half and half, I'd say Georgian and English. One of the first
Not
times
unusual.
That we, yeah, Georgia really has only had a handful of songs that have included Georgian language. So this is their 16th or 17th appearance. 2012, they had one line in Georgian. In 2018 and 19, their songs were fully in Georgian. And then this is their first time being fully, basically 50-50 bilingual. So, you know. Nice to see more, again, native language representation, which is great to see.
Mm-hmm.
She has appeared on basically every vocal competition show that Georgia has, and not quite as much as as Nutza did last year, but she was on X Factor and Geostar and The Voice and Dancing with the Stars, and yeah, she's been on a whole bunch of stuff.
Geostar.
Yeah, instead of pop star, it's Geostar. Yeah, either that or it's, you know, a very cheap car by the Geo company. I don't know.
I feel like it's unfair to judge this song too soon because, again, it's really, really fresh. But in looking at a couple of the countdowns of the usual suspects on YouTube, this seems to have entered pretty close to the bottom. Again, I can't really make any value judgments, but apparently, you know, tens of thousands of people are ready.
Well, you know why that is.
Yeah, there are a couple of reasons why. One, you know, big ballad, some people just don't respond to that. And two, it appears that she has been potentially a vocal supporter of a political movement that many people don't see eye to eye with.
A couple political movements, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ah, the Chartists. Georgian land reform.
Oh, man.
She supports the breakaway state of Biafra.
She's a flat earther.
All right. Well, it's a...
Is that
it
one real?
Be Europe.
No.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, I wouldn't be surprised at this. But look, I was going to say, Eurovision, like every single year, we always have somebody who is a person of questionable political thought. But also, I don't know, they're an entertainer. They're allowed to be stupid.
It takes all kinds, right?
Yeah. It does. It's Eurovision. It's from diverse areas of Europe or from diverse political situations. I'm not going to forgive her, whatever. We got to judge the song on the merit of the song. So...
Better luck next year.
Gotta let it sit until the preview show.
No, we'll see.
On the other side of the spectrum, like I said, France is also brand spanking new, just to move us right along. Mm-hmm. But people seem to be cottoning well to this song. I don't know. France rarely. We're still within living memory of Tom Lieb, but France rarely sends junk, and it's like, you might call this your typical Eurovision ballad, but it's not junk.
It's impeccably performed. We had known
they will do that every single time. France is not going to skimp on the quality of the performer.
Right. We had known.
Remember them performing at the Super Bowl, but that was a nice touch.
Well, I mean, they go epic.
Subtle.
If it's either that or on top of the Eiffel Tower or, you know.
Inside a baguette or...
setting fire to Notre Dame.
I don't know.
And you can reach Derek at...
Yeah, come get me.
Sacre bleu. Yeah, so we...
Sacred blue.
So we knew, we've known for a couple of months now, probably, that Louane would be representing France, a very well-established act. I didn't realize this. She actually was one of the leads in the movie that ended up being adapted into English and became Coda.
Oh, okay.
That was her. Like, that was, the French version of that, the French original movie. She was
Which notably had no deaf people in it.
Ooh.
Were they just doing the Amelia Perez but with deaf people?
Oh no.
Sacre bleu.
Movie podcast.
Sacre bleu.
But supposedly she was great.
Wow. Okay. So we're doing relatively high profile star here then too.
Yeah. But France over the last couple of years has done that, you know, that they've been, you know, getting their big names to do it. Mm-hmm. So, and her song Maman performed live at, I think it was like the last match of the, like the World Rugby Championship. I know nothing about rugby.
It's great that they're lit. This is so French that they'll be like, all right, we're going to take the gayest competition that Europe really has to offer, and we're just going to smack it right here on your rugby broadcast. Absolutely love it.
And you're going to, you're going to love this. But yeah, her song Maman appears to be very personal, co-written by Louane. But her backstory, she had lost both of her parents at a pretty young age, and it's sort of her reflecting on that as she herself becomes a mother. So pretty honest and pretty hard hitting.
This is intense lyrically. Yeah. Honestly, it's quite the song.
Yeah, bit of a tearjerker. Like, I don't see much
skimp on the lyrical content, I've noticed.
Yeah, they.
Yeah, no.
So
what? This is coming from you, Derek, who took apart "I Sing the Big France."
That was just the one line.
it was your favorite.
But she did sing the Big France.
She really did sing the Big France.
Who sang better? Who sang a bigger France?
I will say it's nice to see the adults at Eurovision singing about their mothers for a change.
Oh, you took the words right out of my mouth, honestly, because like I looked into this and I was like, OK, so lyrically we are coming from a very real place for her, a very real emotional place. But when I first saw that the title was Mama, I'm like, great, another Eurovision song about my mommy. What is this, Junior Eurovision? But no, it's a decidedly more mature than that.
Not quite.
Decidedly more.
Oh, yeah.
Just a hair.
Yeah, those of you expecting Lisandro 2.0 are going to be sorely, sorely mistaken.
Oh, my
God, no.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so that was, those were the last two songs that we were waiting for full-on releases. However, we have gotten revamps out. Spain has released a revamp, kind of tightening up the studio version that we originally got from Benidorm Fest. Ukraine has also released a slightly tightened package, I would say.
A slight improvement, I would say.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah.
And then
that's a good move.
And then Malta.
And then the one we were waiting for. Yes.
Oh, yes. They have released their revamp, their Let's Make the EBU Happy moment. It's now just called Serving. The shambling corpse of Immanuel Kant has been put to rest.
And we are now serving. They went the full City Zenny, didn't they?
Yeah, just serving.
The moan is what really sells it.
The grunt is so sharp. It's so plosive. Honestly, if you are trying to listen for it, to listen for Serving Kant, you can't help but hear it. Like you're like, is it just sort of like nerfed?
Linguistically, going from serving and then the release of the G, it's serving G, which is the G and the K sound are basically made in the same part of the mouth. G K. One's vocalized, mm-hmm. The other one isn't. So it's very, I don't know, I don't think they'd probably had like a staff linguist on the revamp, but it's like just linguistically, it's an interesting choice. And I think they've done about as good as they could, knowing that they had to swap out, that they mm-hmm. still leave things available for the audience to have their say when the time comes.
Oh, I can't wait. The crowd is going to fill this in every single time, and it's going to be great. I don't know if their anti-booing technology is going to work on that.
How can they anti-boo a song, a word that is so easy to shout and so satisfying
and quick too?
Yes,
like, I know.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. I mean, this is a year where there has been some talk about like. And some of the official documentation is saying, like, okay, guys, we need to make sure this is a family show, right? Because this airs in prime time. Mm-hmm. It's got to be a family show. I don't know if this is specifically a response to like Zora last year or Doomsday Blue last year or Windows 95 Man's
Zora. Just because
those dancers were.
Sometimes
they're letting it all hang out.
Sometimes I forget about the Speedos and Bustier dancers.
How could you forget about the Speedos and Bustier dancers, Danny?
Does it help to say it's Eurovision, so it all just sort of blended together?
A little bit, yeah. No, I just there are a couple things this year that are just flying in the face of that immediately.
Besides this, what are we talking about? What are we talking about that's
Finland.
Really...
Finland.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So, I mean, we know what's going to happen with this song. Everyone in that room knows the real lyrics. Ha 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 ha. And they will make sure that that everyone else knows as well. Congratulations. Also, can we address this thing in the music video that was brought to our attention?
In the Finland music video.
No, Malta. So at the start of the video, there are a bunch of like recordings and clips and things of people, I would say on average, bad mouthing the song or being like,
yeah.
This is ridiculous or whatever. And one of our followers on Blue Sky swore up and down that a clip from one of our shows is in that.
Oh?
And I will say there is a voice saying, "You do you, Malta," I think it was, that definitely sounds a heck of a lot like Derek.
It would have been nice if they had asked for permission.
I've listened back to a few times when we've talked about this song. I cannot find the clip of that being said. I am not saying it is or isn't us. I agree that it sounds like Derek. But
if that was the case,
I must find this doppelganger and destroy him.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it was Pointo.
Was it Pointo?
I'm a bitch.
If you happen to find like proof that this is from our show, we'll send you some stuff or something. Like it would be crazy to find out like where they got it from or whatever. But yeah, I can neither confirm nor deny that it's us at this point. And Derek, you had said you don't recall having said that.
I don't recall having said it. And I know, Eric, you and I both like listened to the original episodes where we talked about Malta, and I don't think I could find anything. But
now, the problem is that we have been talking about Malta for so long. This wasn't a late release into the Eurovision roster for this year. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've been talking about it for 3 months at this point, so it could have been anywhere.
Yeah, and
it's
honestly,
always been developing. We've been like, all right, here we are. It's called Serving Kant. Here we go. Will they do anything with it? And then they have to do something with it. So then we have to deal with, you know, all of the updates, all of the censoring. It's
and then it won the national final.
Can't watch.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I wish. Oh man, remember when we had Maruv watch for like a solid 20 months?
I miss Maruv watch.
What's she been up to?
Yeah, I'm gonna look into that right now. While somebody else talks about something else.
Well, the head of delegations meeting is up. So that's all going. So that's happening. We knew it was coming down. It's generally the time of the season when the members of the delegations all meet up and submit their plans to the EBU and get more information on how the organizing is going, and you know, then have the chance to see the developments as they develop. And during that time, in order to avoid any semblance of favoritism for the hometown entry, they do draw randomly the running order spot for the host country. So we now know that Switzerland will be performing in spot number 19 in the grand final on Saturday night. Eric, I had requested that you take a quick scan of our beloved patented Statmotron to come up with some facts and figures to see if the number 19, is that auspicious? Or are we talking about like the bad luck that the number 4 has in many Asian numerology? Like, is this a good thing, a bad thing? Is Zoe Mee going to be, you know, cursed to some I don't even know what a curse would be in Switzerland. To be dipped in fondue? I don't know.
Not the worst. What's the total? 26 in the grand final?
Yeah. They call it the fondant.
Who knows?
So, okay. 19 is a pretty good spot historically. Kind of in the middle in terms of like the average rank. That you can get, but it is one of only a handful of spots that has never produced a last place.
Oh.
The others, if you're curious, are one. Number one has never produced a last place, which I thought was kind of interesting. 19, 20. I mean, and the farther we get, the fewer contests there have been, you know, since the final wasn't always this long. But 23 hasn't, 25 hasn't, and then 27 hasn't. That's only happened once. 27 on average is a great spot to be in if you can get it. average of third place out of the one time that it happened. It has also produced three winners, which are
recent winners.
Kind of relatively. The first was in CMA 1992.
Oh, Toto
Continua song. And then My Number One in 2005. And Running Scared in 2011.
Oh, no.
Oh boy. Okay.
For all those.
But 2 weeks in a row now we're talking about Running
Scared.
It
is also produced a couple of, we'll say, historic performances. Flying the Flag for You.
Oh, dear.
Christ.
Was in 19. Playing with Fire.
It's been too long since we dragged that boy.
Was that
that was a fun one.
Favorite slash non-favorite of the show, Love Injected, was 19th. My Lucky Day was 19th.
Yeah.
Like It by Xena was 19th. We know how much we liked that one. But yeah, since the this decade, it has been really a quite a good spot. Shum was 19th. Shum mentioned, always good. Trent Letoile, Heart of Steel, and Jaco. Those were all
wow. Okay,
spot
we got
19.
Some good stuff right there.
So yeah. she's in pretty darn good company. I would say.
And it's a lot better than having to open the show. That's for damn sure.
Mm-hmm.
Good for her. All right, I think that's promising. And you know what? We had Remo 2 years ago. We had Nemo last year. I keep thinking of Zoe as Zoe Nemo.
Zoe Nemo.
Zoe Nemo.
Zemo.
Well,
Baron
Zoe
Zemo.
Zemo. So Zoe Nemo.
Baron Zemo. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Zoe Nemo. You've heard it here.
Yeah. But yeah, it has not produced a non-top 10 finish since Xena in 2019.
Wow.
So, also, I did just check in on Maroov Watch. recently released a song called I'm Sexy. Music video is horny as ever. So Maroov has, yeah.
That was Siren song.
No big surprises on Maroov Watch.
She's still Marooving. Okay.
Oh, she is Marooving our brains out, it looks like. So, anyway, that's what Maroov's doing.
Multi-IO. Yeah. All right. So, as all these revamps and all these last little bits and pieces are coming together, basically before the preview, like the big preview concerts, like the Amsterdam party and the London party or any other preview events are happening, it's kind of a quiet time. So, I think we're filling up a lot of our time right now with acts releasing official music videos. And sometimes those are just, cleaned up versions of the live performance of a national final, like we have in Germany, for example. And sometimes they actually do put out a full, fully fleshed concept of a video. Just in this past week, we've seen official videos from Serbia, Slovenia, Estonia, Malta, as we've mentioned, Spain, Iceland. Latvia have a lovely video out, Croatia, Norway, Belgium. And we kind of wanted to delve into, in the time of MTV not really doing any music anywhere, and TikTok really taking up a lot of the oxygen of music.
Period.
Yeah, music period. What is the role of the music video in the Eurovision ecosystem nowadays? Do we think it helps? It hurts? It's superfluous? It's a waste of money? What do you guys think?
It's tough for us to weigh in completely objectively on a contest that happens in Europe, because we are not the target demographic for this contest. I feel like we, like the music videos, like searching these on YouTube, that is the primary way that we are fed with the songs at this point. My algorithm, I'm not on TikTok. And my YouTube does not say that I live in France or in the Netherlands or in, Estonia. So my YouTube algorithm is not feeding me the same quality stuff that it would be for everyone else over there. So for us, music videos are definitely the way that it has to be.
I kind of want to jump in here and just clarify a couple of things I was thinking about when this
came
up.
Please do.
First of all, out of curiosity, I looked up what are the most popular or most watched videos on YouTube. Pretty much all of them are music videos of some sort. A lot of them are for children, but there's a handful in there that are, I guess more adult. Ed Sheeran's in there a few times. Katy Perry, Justin Bieber, Shakira, Psy, Wiz Khalifa. So it's not like people aren't watching them, but I just don't think we watch them in the same way. And I think kind of going off what I asked last week about why don't they release the songs before they're picked for Eurovision, or why don't they pick a song that's already out that's getting traction? The music video is kind of the premiere of the song. So when we get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
For most people, we have no idea who these people are. And I feel like the video lends itself a little bit of introduction to the person and to the style, especially if you don't speak the language. This is our kind of first foray into this, if we're going to do that. And I feel like, not to take up too much time here, fundamentally, there's three different kinds of music videos. You have the live performance.
Mm-hmm.
You have the music video that's completely unrelated to what they're going to do on stage. And then you have the music video that is directly tied to the presentation on Eurovision.
Mm.
And there are pros and cons for each of those, I think, especially in terms of like timing and budget. If you're just going to release a live performance and say, okay, this is our official video, this is all we're doing.
Yeah. It's like you save the money, but you leave a lot potentially to be desired and a lot of room for growth rather than laying all your cards out on the table by doing that.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Jamala's 1944, the music video came out after Eurovision.
It did. Correct.
And the official video was just her national final performance.
Yeah. And that could have also been a budgetary thing of, you know, we've won and we know that this is resonating with people. So let's flesh it out into a bigger storytelling medium. But I've totally forgotten about that.
I mean, I think we're just going to keep talking about Malta. But I think that music video in particular, I think, gave it a bit of a boost. Mm-hmm. And leaned into the short history of that a bit before getting into the song. And I think that's only worked in its favor. But when I think back, there are other times when I think a video has set a certain mood or a certain vibe that ended up being pretty different from what we ended up seeing on stage, either for good or for bad. Fuego comes to mind. I mean, we collectively, not just us, but like almost everyone, it seems like, just thought so little, not that it was bad, but just thought so little about Fuego as anything other than like, oh, okay, it's another bop. And the music video didn't really do it any favors there. And then it got on stage and holy potatoes, it was something else. But holy potatoes, I don't know. I think.
Yeah, for the record, we are recording this on St. Patrick's Day. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Holy potatoes. Yeah, I mean, I think in other cases, it's been more beneficial. 2020 didn't happen, but Uno.
Yeah.
By Little Big continues to be one of the most watched music videos in yeah. Eurovision history. It might be the most watched video
by a substantial margin, actually.
Yeah. On like Eurovision's YouTube page. But like, yeah, there was a video late last year by a YouTuber named Mike the Snare, who I love. If you're listening for some reason, please come on this show. We would love to have you. He's talked about wanting to know more about Eurovision. We can help. Mr. The Snare, we would love to help with that. But he did a video basically on what he called the death of the music video, and how at least over here in the States, it's becoming a little less common. One example he cited was "Good Luck Babe" by Chapel Roan. Was a top five hit. No video. It's just not necessary. And a lot of that is TikTok that you just kind of don't need to. There was ultimately and. How exactly you differentiate these two things is kind of up for kind of a whole other discussion. But a music video versus a visualizer versus a lyric video. There is a visualizer, a lyric video for Good Luck Babe. And it's just, I mean, it uses Comic Sans. It's just kind of a silly sort of cute thing. And that was more than what it needed.
Well, we look last year, one of the songs that was listed as the official music video was basically just a lyric video, and that was Australia. And it was basically just the lyrics of the song superimposed over the singer, you know, over Zachariah and Michael. And you could say the same thing about Slovenia this year, that the official video that's come out is, you know, the lyrics of the song superimposed above Clemen and his wife Mojca. Mm-hmm.
And that was really weird for Australia because they're such enigmatic performers that they were just foregrounding the lyrics and just kind of leaving it at that.
I don't know. I think there's an advantage to emphasizing the lyrics for a song called Milkshake Man.
No, that.
No, but there is a full video for Milkshake Man.
We're talking about Australia.
Milk Polly. No shake.
Oh, sure. Okay.
I know they sound familiar, but.
Yeah. Melancholy Shake Man. Note to self, do not make a mashup of those songs. That seems bad. But no, when it came to Electric Fields, I mean, I'm not saying that if there'd been a video that kind of hyped up how great they were as performers, it would have gone differently for them. I'm not sure about that. But I certainly didn't do them any favors.
Do you think it could have been a budgetary thing? It could have been I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know why else you would do it that way. Unless there's no concept that really sounds good for a music video, and it just kind of, I don't know, the idea of lyric videos or visualizers has become so commonplace that I think it's become more acceptable to just kind of default to that. That you don't need to come up with this big high concept for telling a story in your video anymore.
I mean, we still have a few of those this year.
We do. Possibly including Milkshake Man, if we're being honest.
I mean, that was a pretty high concept video, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But does it serve to have a high concept video if that's going to be nothing close to the staging that you're going to have? A lot of these sort of like work to sort of build hype for what you expect the staging at the main contest is going to be.
Sometimes.
Yeah, or at least little Easter eggs being dropped. I remember when the music video for Spaceman, or like one of the promo videos when Spaceman came out, that in the background, or in like sort of a semi out of focus shot of him performing, there was, you would have blinked and you missed it, but there was a schematic of the, you know, the folding spaceship that he was in.
The weird tower.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. That it was visible there, and you would have blinked and you missed it, and you never would have thought about it. But then you watch it again after you see what the full concept of the staging was. And you're like, oh, it turns out that, you know, Sam and his team and the BBC were leaving little breadcrumbs the whole way through, which is engaging and fun. But if you don't know to look for those and be engaged by that.
Yeah, I mean, with apologies to Sam Ryder's team, I didn't know that until just now. So,
gotta go watch that video again now.
But I mean, I look at the top two finishers last year. Rim Tim, Toggy Dim, I think, were kind of forecasted what they were going to do quite well. The Code, on the other hand, had a really cool video.
Great video.
But it was not a reproducible thing on stage. And they ended up doing something else. And obviously that worked out phenomenally. That staging was amazing. And served the song super well. It's weird that anytime I say the word served or serving now, it's just, oh God, it's everywhere. Is this what it's like to be Gen Z?
Yes,
everything is just serving all the time.
No, everything is chat.
No cap.
We should ask chat how they feel about this episode.
Yeah, chat, what do you think? Is this real? Is anything real? Anyway,
But then you also have, if you have an ambitious video with a great concept and you think this could be something that would potentially serve a staging well.
There it is again.
Ah, dang it. is it actually, hydration is important. Is it then a letdown when the staged performance doesn't live up to that standard? And I'm thinking, you know, as much as I love the song and the vibe and the artists, who the hell is Edgar? Had a great music video, great concept, super fun, tongue in cheek, and it just didn't quite translate to the stage in Liverpool.
Boy, it sure didn't.
Yeah.
And the video, I think, was a huge part of the hype for that.
Yeah.
For that. Yeah. And oh man, it just did not translate. So I'm not saying the video gave us, you know, the wrong expectations or something like that, but I don't know. They had such a great concept for the video, and then
it didn't quite use that potential.
I think that's a problem of kind of like Nemo's The Code. You know, when you have the budget and the time and the resources to put together a video on a train, for example, you can do that, and then you realize, okay, we can't do that on stage, so we need to come up with something completely different. And they really put the time in. It felt like with Who the Hell is Edgar, the staging just kind of was thrown together. And I don't know whose fault that would necessarily be, but it just didn't get, I don't think it had the resources behind it or whatever to make something new that would work on stage. I don't know what that would be, but for me personally, I think my favorite ones are, they have a concept in the video. They don't try to recreate it, but they take themes from it. And probably the best example I can think of is the Common Lynettes, which sort of had this on the road theme in their music video.
Ooh.
And then had like a road on the stage, and it wasn't like a one for one recreation, but it tied it all together.
Yeah. It thematically, it all just kind of knit through very, very beautifully.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when we talk about, you know, there's an interesting case this year where one of the songs had an official music video prior to the national final and was used as the sort of launching point for the national final, and is not being used as the official video on the Eurovision website. And I'm sure we can probably guess why. But there's an official video for Ik Kome. We go back to Erica here. That is not the official video on the Eurovision YouTube page.
Why, Sam?
Oh, she's just, you know, cavorting in a big pool of honey.
She's
cavorting. I would have said writhing.
Oh yeah, that's an even better one. Yeah, if you're cavorting in honey, you're probably just cavorting in honey.
That's not viscous stuff to be honest.
There's a lot of splash. There's a lot of strands being flown a lot of places. it's a little bit on the nose. It's a little bit it's a family show. So
yeah.
If you've seen John Carpenter's The Thing, it's kind of like that. Except sexy.
How integral, though, over in Europe, I know this is, this. We might not have a ton of perspective here, but I'm curious for you guys, how much in Europe is the Eurovision sort of hype train driven by the video, though, over there? You know, like dropping the video is a lot like sort of drawing the curtain up on the song. But like, I mean, how often is a good Eurovision bop sort of like chronicled on the air, on the radio? Or geez, how often is it on TikTok over there?
That may depend on the country, frankly. Every country has a different attitude towards, you know.
Towards TikTok especially, okay.
Well, yeah.
Just towards Eurovision songs in general. I mean, the answer to a British audience is going to be very, very different from that of a, I don't know, what's a country that's Eurovision mad? Malta, for example. No, I mean, they take their Eurovision very seriously. They care a lot about it, so.
I this is not a scientific observation by any stretch, but I noticed that typically videos will get somewhere around 1 million views leading up into the contest, and if it gets fewer than that, it means people just aren't really interested in it. And if it gets more than that, it means people are very interested. But 1 million seems to be kind of like the middle ground. Like, it's a good video, it's a good song, people are watching it, but I don't think you're going to get much more reach than that, at least as far as the videos go.
With the exception of Italy.
Oh, yeah, some always just get a ton, like, locally, and Italy's a good example.
Italy just, yeah.
But I'm always interested to see, they release, like, the 20 most watched videos of the month every month, and it's always a mix. I mean, sometimes the live performances are still more watched than anything. I'm amazed. The live performance of Fairy Tale, which was 16 years ago now.
Oh, yeah.
Continues to be in the top five, like, every month.
It's true.
Sometimes these live performances are the things that people come back to. But
it's an evergreen. I mean,
how, like, that seems to be from the era. I'm just talking purely anecdotally, but, like, you know, I've gone back and I've looked at sort of reviews of the early 2010s, late 2000s, right when I like to talk about, like, the contest really evolving into the Eurovision that it currently feels like. At that time, God, there weren't a lot of sort of, like, music videos were really a extra thing, almost like a luxury for certain performers in that era, in 2007, 2008, 2009. It really feels like that's not, like, that wasn't part of the way the contest was until, like, 2014, maybe.
I remember.
Does that sound about right? Because 2014 is right about when, 2013, 2014 is when you guys started really, really hopping into this hardcore.
I mean, that was when I got into it, period. Sam had been going for a couple years.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, you know, the Eurovision website used to host the video. I mean, this is basically pre-YouTube, or like the very, very beginnings of YouTube, when I first really started getting into the contest. So around 2007, I want to say. And instead of having the music videos on YouTube, they would host the official music videos on the official Eurovision website. They would have their own video platform with the OctoStream or OctoShape or something like that was the...
Really?
Yeah. It was,
I want to know more.
It was janky.
Back when everyone had to have their own streamer because Vivo was taking over everyone.
But I mean, every country still had a full music video. I seem to remember maybe fewer performance videos and more just actual fleshed out music videos.
That's the opposite of what I would have thought, because performance videos seem to be so much like, well, let's just film really well something that's already going to be performed, and it's going to feel like you've got a tease of what's coming up in the contest. Feels like the other way around is what maybe was more logical.
Yeah,
man,
I know.
It's really a different landscape. 15 years ago,
I just remember watching all these videos one on one, and there weren't. It was just a very different vibe back then.
It sure was.
Yeah, no kidding.
Out of curiosity, when did music videos really become a thing?
Yeah, that's Eurovision? My thing.
The Eurovision? Oh, gosh. That's a really good question. Because, I mean, some of these songs, I mean, I remember Gina G's Ooh Ah Just a Little Bit certainly had a music video. I remember seeing that in heavy rotation on, like, VH1 and MTV in the US, like, when that was, you know, still a thing that they did. I don't really know. That's a really good question. Like, the history of the Eurovision music video, when that
we
really
should hit
came
up. We should hit up some of our British pals.
I know that Paul Oscar, Min Hinsty Dance had an official one. I feel like Diva by Donna International did. So certainly in the late 80s. I'm sorry, in the late 90s they would have. I don't Maybe that may have been a country versus country thing, you know?
Yeah.
The countries that, that spent a lot more maybe were more likely to, to do that.
And you may
have
had, you know, acts. And plus acts that may have been sponsored by a major record label. They may have also had that question as well, you know, whether they were putting a video up because of contractual obligations. And a little bit less of a necessity now, I suppose.
A bit less, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, TikTok. Idiots. All right. We've done it. We've saved the city. We solved all the mysteries about music videos. There are still some videos that are still coming. We haven't, for this year, we haven't seen Luxembourg's. Supposedly there's one coming there. And there are a few more as well. That
I don't know what the studio version of that sounds like. I don't know. Can we chalk this up to sort of like the music video not really being... I don't know. Are we all going for just sort of the 15-second clip that we can put on TikTok, the TikTokification of the Eurovision song? That's way more important than having a proper music video or even a well-filmed national final.
I think that's absolutely true.
Yeah, if people don't necessarily have the time or the attention span for a 3-minute long music video, you know, a 10-second little clip is, you know, you make it punchy, you make it snappy. It's sort of like picking your clip for the recaps months in advance.
Well, one thing to kind of keep in mind is if you're watching a music video, you're dedicating time to really focus on it. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're listening to Spotify, you could be doing anything and it can just play. Mm. And the number of listens on Spotify is substantially higher than the number of views on YouTube.
Mm. Yeah,
way higher.
And now I'm wondering, in, you know, thinking about YouTube again, I'm wondering if delegations ever really look at the statistics and viewership of a song and say, people keep rewinding during this point in the song. They seem to be really focused on this part. And maybe put their staging or their camera angles and their recap clips around the parts that they know. I wonder if that kind of plays into things at all.
We got to focus on when he talks about the milkshake man. I cannot wait for that one.
We need to focus at the very end when he dedicates the song to his dad.
You see, when he says sweet, sweet, we all say yum, yum.
Yum, yum.
Sweet,
and
sweet.
You know, when you really think about it, that's so true.
Mm. That is so true. I yum, true. Yum. We yum, yum. He, she, yum, yums. It's a universal language. All right. This is a tough nut to crack without doing a level of research that I think we as Americans aren't capable of doing. A lot of stuff is geo-blocked over here. A lot of stuff is geo-blocked over here, especially from the earlier period, I would assume. Tough to get a vibe on what's happening over there. This is where you, the viewer, you, the listener, can really help us out here. If you're from one of these countries that goes absolutely ham for Eurovision, if we got listeners in England and do we have a listener in England? Or like the Netherlands or Sweden? I'd love to hear from you guys. Like, tell us what the ecosystem is around the music video as a part of the hype machine. I would love to hear it.
I mean, it's funny because Sweden is one of those countries that very rarely, if ever, does a full-on music video.
Yeah, but like they go for Melody Festival and then they go for this, you know?
Because they know they don't have to.
They, yeah, sure.
And well, the production value. What?
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, the production values at Melfest are so good. That why do you don't need to record another thing?
And
it basically
say,
looks like a music video to begin with.
Yeah, and their performance at Eurovision is their Melody Festival and performance typically. So it's just, here's what you're going to get, maybe slightly better next time.
Yeah, but if you had the chance, wouldn't you want to like have another moment to hang out with the dudes from Kai and hang out in the sauna and record with that? But
I want to hang out with the guys with the vibes, you know?
Vibe. You mean Vibe?
I want to go to Vibe. You mean be on a speedboat in Iceland. That's where I want to be.
Sounds chilly.
Yeah.
Climate change.
It's the sea spray. It's the salt spray. It's why everyone in Copenhagen is so hot. It's the salt spray from the ocean. Anyway, Sam, get me out of here.
All right. Well, we will be back with our next episode. Thank you again so much for joining us. We really, really do appreciate you listening in. You can find us on all the standard social media spots. Find us on Patreon or Ko-fi. We will be back with you next week. But until then, everybody, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Danny.
And America.
Stop listening now.
Now.